I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories. On this episode of The Dad Experience, Adam and Eric continue their conversation of the video game parenting theory, the final installment, part three. Check it out. It's a very exciting episode. We're sure you're going to enjoy all the twists and turns we have up our sleeve. So join us, won't you, on an amazing journey that we call...
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to a mini-sode slash mini-series of The Dad Experience, continuing on with our video game parenting theory, something that kind of came up through Eric Silvera had an idea, and we've kind of just been going with it and turning our mini-episodes into kind of a mini-series. So kind of keeping with the theme of mini-episodes, but giving you a little bit on the, you know, all those video gamer parents out there, because it seems like that's where we're at in the world now. All of those video gamer parent, video gamers, where as kids and college kids are now becoming parents. So, what better way to relate to parenting? So, Eric, welcome back to the Dad Experience.
What's going on? Hello.
It's always a good day when you're back. It's
all, yeah,
always
thank you for having
my,
me back.
Always brightens my day. Always
I got to tell you, people are going to know we're old because we're calling them video gamers instead of just being like gamers. You know what I mean?
Oh, is that wrong? Am I wrong?
I think we're right.
I think we're right because we are the Atari and the Nintendo generation.
What are those video gamers doing today?
Walking up to my video game console with a cane, right? So, I had no clue what Nintendo Switch was the other day. My coworker was telling me about it. I'm like, man, why am I buying another iPad? We're gonna buy that for the kids because then I can play Mario Kart.
It's awesome. Yeah, you can play everything with that. It's cool. Our nanny's son has that, and so I've seen him multiple times. In fact, we usually just give him for his birthdays and holidays gift cards for GameStop, right? So you can go and get more things for it. Yeah,
right. And you know, it's cool, like I've been finding out about it, is that you can use it as your Netflix player, but you can watch it, but then if you go to a hotel and it's the evening and you need something, you can plug it into the TV. Like, I'm not saying that's what you should do to have your kids be occupied, but if you're on trips or on airplanes, it seems like a cool thing to do. Plus, it seems like it'd be a cool thing for me to have.
I know. Are we doing an ad for Nintendo Switch right now?
That's what I was just thinking. I was thinking to myself, maybe they'll send us one, Eric. Send them both, one to me and one to you. That's it. Right?
I'm down.
That's all. I just heard about it, so I'm excited about it. But I'm not going to get one because it's just too expensive for my blood right now.
Yeah. And also, it's like when the kids take it over, it's just not worth it.
Well, they're still too young to take it over. By the time they're old enough to take it over, man, they'll be something different. That's they'll true. Be like immersive, full haptic body suits of VR.
Right, that's right.
So, I mean, we'll be living in Ready Player One.
Yeah, so we're almost there.
We're almost there. So, you know, talking about the video game parenting theory, can you kind of let our listeners know, again, said in the last episode, I would listen to the first one, but, you know, it's not the end of the world. There are a few spoilers, and we may talk about poop or do something like that. So
yeah.
You might want to go back and listen to that. So, Eric, can you tell our listeners kind of a rundown of what this is?
Perfect. So this is the idea that being a parent is basically like different levels of a video game. So that was kind of like the jump off point. So basically, like, you know, you're dealing with your kid, you're learning how to change diapers, you're learning how to sleep train, you're learning how to bathe them properly, whatever it may be. Every time something goes on with your kid that you're not really sure what to do, it's like a level. And then you master that level and you move on to the next thing that comes up. But as that next thing comes up, there are regressions, and then that regression drops you back down a level. But because you know what you're doing, you're able to master that, you're able to get through that really quickly and get back to the level you're at. And it basically just keeps on going like that. Every new phase equals some kind of level. And from there, as that was the jump off point, we talked about, you know, like I said, regressions. That's being sent back down a level. Single player equaling one parent working with the kid. Two players, both parents working together. We talked about cheat codes, which are the things that you do to, you know, get through a situation in, like, where your kid's having a tantrum in public. What's the trick that you use? Or cheat codes are things that people tell you about, because they've had kids themselves, and then they know things that are able to get you through, little tricks of the trade. We talked about second kids being like sequels to video games. So we've been running this analogy to the ground, and we got a few more to get through, and then that might be the end of this part of the series. I don't know. We'll see where we leave off.
We'll see. Or you come up with something different. Or we.
I got plenty.
You know what, though? I think you've got a new career ahead of you. I think you could be the new Micro Machine announcer, dude, from those commercials. You remember those commercials?
Talking fast.
Yeah, you are. You just got through the whole last two episodes. I don't know that people need to go back. No, they should, because they were fun. But but man, you did a good job, and you got it done in less than like a minute. About a minute. Nice job.
I'm from the Bronx. I talk fast. I've been told that my whole life.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure some of our overseas listeners will really appreciate that. So we talked and touched a little bit on about multiplayer and how my wife last week talked about how my wife had all the children here and she was by herself. And it was like, was it multiplayer? Did we say that was a cheat code? I can't remember.
I think I was saying that it was kind of like a multiplayer experience. But the difference in that scenario, which is different than the way I've been thinking about multiplayer, is that like all four kids, you know, like your wife, Goombas, man.
They're all right. The Goombas.
Exactly. And all four kids are basically teaming up on the one person.
Right. They're like the antagonist in like Bond or like exactly. Mario. So no, totally. I agree. So it's multiplayer. So how do we envision that in the video game sense of like the protagonist, let's say? We're throwing out some big literary terms today here.
Yeah. No, the way I've been thinking about multiplayer is that, you know, just like the cliche, it takes a village, right? Right. The people that help you with the kids, I said, that's kind of like multiplayer games where you're teaming up with different people all for the same mission, right? And everyone's got their headpieces on and they're whispering advice. And sometimes it's really helpful. And sometimes it's confusing as shit. And you're just like, well, I don't even know what to do. You know what I mean? And, you know, you're just kind of like, what do I do? What do I do? And they're telling you to shoot this person. The other person's like, no, you better hide there. And you have to kind of decide that you need to listen to them, or maybe you don't listen to them, and maybe you lose that game and you lose that level. And then you decide next time you need to figure it out for yourself. And then maybe there's like that one helpful voice that's been whispering to you from like another bedroom or another basement. And you realize like, that's the one I learned to trust. And I think that's really the same way with parenting. You know, you have all these people, you have your parents, your in-laws, your nanny, your friends, your aunts, your uncles, whatever it may be. You have all these people that have some experience, that have opinions. You have, you know, social media where it's just all assholes with opinions for the most part. Not really Instagram, once they, but like Facebook, you're dealing with a bunch of animals on there. And no offense, Facebook people, whatever. you really have to kind of try and get through that clutter of who do I trust? What advice do I take? And I think that's kind of the universe that you live in. And that's really the case. And multiple forms of advice are super helpful. They really are. I just think sometimes in my experience, you get so much advice that you're like, I don't know what to do. And that's where the issue lies. And either you just have to trust your gut, or you have to trust the person that has like guided you the right way most of the time.
Right. It's kind of like what we're taught in school, and especially now with the modern day with the internet and stuff, finding those reputable sources or finding those reputable websites, not finding your fake news or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, whatever Facebook calls or whatever, right? So
right.
It's finding and managing and going through all that positive, well, the correct information. But then you know, this is a great place for them to go, right? Because we always try and find reputable good people to get a good information from. So
for sure. And, you know, I think there is value in, there is like, so, there's so much value in taking advice. Like I'll never forget when I told a friend of mine who was a few years older than me, is one of the only guys at the time that I knew that had kids. I said, you know, my wife's having a baby. My wife's pregnant. And he said, so exciting. And the first thing he said to me, he goes, sleep training. I said, what? He said, sleep training. He said, do you know what that is? I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he basically explained the concept of sleep training to me and gave me examples of how him and one sister did it, and how well their kids slept and kind of thrived. And another sister refused to do it. And that kid to this day, his niece still to this day has issues going to sleep and sleeping in other places and things like that. And I didn't know much about it at the time, but it stuck in my head for the rest of my wife's pregnancy. And by the time, you know, our son was born, it was something that I brought up. I said, you know, I think we need to try this. We need to look into this. And, you know, there's all kind of different methodologies and ways to go about it. And my wife talked with her friends, but that was like a great form of advice and was kind of clean, because I didn't have that many people telling me what to do or what I should be doing, because I didn't know that many people that had kids at that point. And so that was easy. But as as time has progressed, you know, you get people then really kind of giving you all kinds of crazy opinions, and you just, like I said, you got to decide if it's worth taking that advice or not.
Exactly. You know, and it's interesting. It's like, as you grow, and I think I find this, and maybe, and that's as the video games expand too in the video game world, but as you grow and expand, you start to be able to weed out those good bits of information and those bad bits of information. You know, it comes from experience, but it's like, think about from going from where, let's take, I love Mario. I always make this reference of Mario. People are going to make fun of me, but I guess that's my just focus. I could talk about my Commodore 64, which most people probably don't even know what I'm talking about.
But, I don't know that one.
You don't even know that was one of the original home computers, like back in like 85 and 86. Even before that. But anyways, but you go through and think about those video games that started, or take an Atari, going to Nintendo, going to Sega, going to now Nintendo Switch or whatever you're going to talk about, or PS4. As things get better and bigger, and you can and you grow with those games, you learn the little tweaks, right? And you learn the little things that they change, and the graphics change. So you start to be able to pick out the things that are working and the things that aren't working. And I think that's just something that grows as you grow. And I'm nowhere near being able to know what the good advice is, but I've already hit some of those points where it's like somebody's telling me to do this, and it's like, man, that just doesn't work for my kid. And I don't think anything's a one size fits all anyways, right? I don't think anything that I do is going to be exactly what you'll be able to do in your home with you and your wife, right? So
right, exactly. All, and, you know, you might have a different philosophy than me in terms of parenting or parenting style. And so that's going to play in it too. And so, you know, you have to find those kind of people that you mesh with that, you know, maybe are similar to your style, your thought process, that you'd be like, oh, that works for them. We seem to have the same kind of feelings about things. I'm gonna take that advice. I'm going to go along with that.
Right. And, you know, I do have to say, you do have some great things, because it was funny. I was talking to my wife, and she was talking to somebody, and we're, you know, how we're going to Europe soon. And she was like, yeah, and I heard somewhere, somebody was talking about getting on the plane last. I said, I know where you heard that, Lauren. I said, you heard that from Eric on the podcast. So there you go. And you're already giving out those great, your information's already coming down and helping people. It's helping my house. So way to go.
Oh, good. All right. I'm happy. I'm happy to hear that.
I'm like, you heard that somewhere. I said, I know where you heard that. It was pretty funny. Well, it's good to know that my wife does listen to us. So that's
yeah, it's true.
But so yeah, I mean, I think that managing that the information, but networking to the right people that are similar to you, and relying on those friends. It's like there's those days, and even, you know, you can look at multiplayer too. From when we talked about single player to double to two players, you can almost put that multiplayer in here, because there's times where I know with my wife where it's like, my daughter's driving me up the wall, let's say, because she just won't listen to me or won't go pick up her toys or do whatever at this age, right? So that's when you kind of tap in and go, okay, I need that multiplayer help. I need you to help me manage this map or whatever we're doing and whatever game, and I need you to come in here and kind of tag team in, and let's get this done, right?
Oh, so, yeah, for
I mean,
sure.
I think you can look
for
at sure. it that way too, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like, that's the key to parenting is the tag team.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, or the tapping out.
Right.
Like, we are very good at tapping out, and you can see, like, there's a night where my wife will have it together, and I'm just like biting my lip, and I'm like, just fucking get in your fucking bed. You know, I'm not saying it, but I'm thinking, get in the fucking bed. Stop running around. I've got this. I've got to take care of this. Like, I just can't deal with this right now. Stop hitting. Stop yelling. Stop bouncing around the house like you're like a little, like you're pretending you're a dog. You're not King Kong. You want to say all those crazy things, and you just have to like biting in, and then you can hear in your tone of voice. You know, for my son, I'm like, I go. It starts with, all right, Miles, here we go, Miles. Like, come on, brush your teeth. Miles, please brush your teeth. Miles, Miles, it is time to brush your teeth. Stop turning on the water. No, you can't drink that. Miles, no. Dude, please brush your teeth. Do you want, I will take away the iPad tomorrow night, and you feel that fucking, the bass in your voice rising. And you know, if my wife hears it, and she's like in that like zen place for the
my
night.
My turn.
Like, boom, she comes in, takes care of it. And I do the same, you know. And the problem is like when you're both kind of crazy on those nights.
Oh yeah,
and I think it's kind of almost like, oh man, that's what. Like I mean, I was saying this a little bit last time. We definitely made some mistakes. Like I have like one kind of like shameful. I actually have multiple shameful moments of parenting, but like the like one that I look back where I'm like, what? Like me and my wife still to this. And it's been a year. And we're still like, boy, what? Like, what were we thinking? Like, and basically was when Miles jumped out of the crib, wouldn't sleep in his bed, And basically was like, I'm not going to go to bed anymore. And for nights, he was running around our apartment. And it was basically 2 weeks of him not going to sleep, finally getting him down anywhere between like 10 and midnight. And then us being tired, us going to bed for a few hours, the baby waking up in the middle of the night maybe. And it was just like, this is insane. In the middle of it, my wife is having like some health problems. Then she spills hot baking grease on her feet and gets second degree burns on her feet.
Oh, no.
All this crazy shit's happening. And we're like such in a weird place. At one night we both really snapped, and we were like, Miles, if you don't go to bed, we're gonna throw away your toys. And he's like, I don't care. He's like, I don't care. And we're like, we're throwing out your toys, and we're literally taking his toys, putting them into garbage bags.
You have to follow through at that point.
Right, exactly. We're following, and you're like, he's like, oh no. He's like, what? Throw out his garbage. And then we hide him in the closet. We hide him in different places. And we put one in the garbage because so he could see it looks like. And then obviously we picked that later on. But like that was the start. And then he still didn't care. He was like testing us. He just didn't give a shit. And finally we were like, he was like, my wife was like, Miles, if you don't go to bed, I'm leaving. I've had enough. I'm leaving the house. I'm going to bed. I think that was going to scare him. So she's like, so she literally walks out the apartment. And then he follows her out the apartment. And what I didn't realize is that I thought she was just standing in the hallway. She actually walks down the stairs or takes an elevator down a flight down to another floor. So he's standing in the hallway completely alone by himself. And I'm going, I don't hear Emily. I don't hear my wife. And then I hear all of a sudden I hear a man talking to him saying, hey there, are you okay? He goes, well, have you seen my mommy? And I'm going, oh shit. I opened the door.
You left him now.
We left a fucking kid in the hallway. I opened the door. And he goes, I don't know where the neighbor went. I don't know. I think it was a neighbor. I'm assuming it was.
We're going to assume it was. We're not going to think of anything.
Yeah. He comes in, and then my wife comes and she goes, did you leave him in the hallway alone? I said, yeah, I thought you read this. She goes, no, I went down the stairs. I walked. So that was like one of those, I'm laughing now, but then we realized, we looked at each other, like we just fucking lost it. We really just lost it. And we got into bed. We said, and eventually a month later, we forgot the toys were even in the closet. He forgot about them. We pulled them out. He goes, wait, where were they? So we took them from the garbage or whatever. We made some excuse up.
Right.
But it was really that moment I think about, the shameful moment was like, I left my son in the hallway of our building. And we were new to the building. And I was like, what were like people thinking? What was he thinking that he's all of a sudden alone out there? Like, I look back, I'm like, that was really us going to a deep, dark place with like having frayed nerves. Now, of course, it's funny, and everything's okay. But at that time, it's one of those, you're like, man, that was fucked up. So anyways,
hey, man,
I went on a random tangent there. You're about, good.
One thing that I learned from my experiences of being a dad now is you are never, ever, ever. I don't know. Maybe it'll change as they get older, but I highly doubt it. You'll never, ever win. So don't even try and compete. It's always, you just got to find the way to do it that you'll win, but you'll never win in the sense of trying to go toe to toe. Right. I mean, it happens everywhere. Even our education and when you're teaching, it's like, you gotta pick your battles. Right. And I think you learn that. And I've learned it quite a few times too. So don't feel bad about that at all. I've done some things where I talked to my wife. I'm like, man, that was the worst thing. Why did I do that? Like, so I get it.
I appreciate you saying that. I really, I do.
It happens. I've done it too. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to hear a little bit more about the video game parenting theory. Don't forget, we're part of the Parents On Demand Network. Get us on the network app. You can find it on the iTunes Store or Google Play Store. And stick around after the break so we can talk a little bit more on this mini episode/mini series of the video game parenting theory. Welcome back to the Dad Experience, continuing on with that video game parenting theory. Eric's kind of little baby creation that we've kind of just taken off on a tangent and talking about. So I talked about a little bit of the multiplayer experience, but what is it like now you're doing the play date thing and you're getting together with other parents and other couples. So how does that kind of relate into the whole video game parenting theory?
Yeah, of course. So I've been thinking about that a lot, actually. And what I think about is like playing the game, like, going on a play date basically is like playing the game with other friends, right? It's almost the same comparison. Like you have a play date with, with other parents now and with your kids. And then, as a kid, you had a play date with your friends, right? And I think in this idea here, it's that sometimes you and that parent, you're on the same page and you get along really well, and the kids get along really well, and you all have similar philosophies, and it makes a really nice time together, and everything is smooth. And, you know, that's like the same way you win a two-player game when you're with your friend. Like, you guys know this is the way you attack a certain thing, and this is the way you complete a certain level, and you jive well together, and boom, everything's great. And this kind of goes along with the idea of almost multiplayer, of the people you kind of jive with that you trust, right? And they all kind of work together. And then I think there's other times when you're on a playdate and your kids are having a playdate and you're with your parents, that maybe you don't mesh and that the chemistry is off. And even though the kids are having fun, and that's really important for sure, the parent does maybe everything that's literally the exact opposite of what you believe in. And like, they're giving your three-year-old kid soda and fruit snacks and not asking permission to do it. And now your child is like asking for Pepsi all the time and screaming at restaurants that, you know, they won't even eat French fries as a treat because they want some fucking gummy worms or something like that. And, you know, what kind of Paw Patrol do they need to kill to get one? And then before you know it, the kid is like fiending for soda all the time, and they're selling their toys to support the habit, and they're stealing each other's kids' toys, and they're like trading them for gushers. And then like one day you come home and you get a call, or in the middle of the night, and it's from the police because your kid had broken into like a supermarket at 3 a.m. and they're tearing it apart in a sugar high frenzy, and they've just eaten all the fruit snacks in there after you thought they were asleep for hours, all because that one parent just like didn't ask you if it was okay to do that thing. And I think like that parent that gives your kid soda and fruit snacks without ever asking, that's kind of like your friend who, when you used to play Contra back in the day together, he would shoot you instead of shooting the bad guys, and that would cause you to lose your lives. And basically, that friend was a jerk, and those parents are annoying. And, you know, fuck that. You just got to ask. That's what I'm getting at.
Right. I know exactly. That was a really random long tangent. It's not there, it's all relatable. It's all relatable. It's all relatable. So, you know, I agree. It's just asking. And, you know, I always do that. It's like, even when I have some of my friends or whatever, if their kids are or whatever, and I see them get into something, and nothing that's like too major that's like going to hurt themselves, because that would never be a problem. But so you see them doing something that might not be the best of situations. You're like, hey, you know, maybe don't do that. Or, and I always go after, I'm like, I hope I'm not overstepping. And, you know, after that fact, or even right before, and, you know, you kind of get a feel for that before any sort of disciplining or anything goes on in under this roof. It's always like kind of an understanding of the friends that we have. It's like, and they're fine with our kids, and because we're all on the same level. We found that,
right.
We pulled the right information out from those people and found the right network or the right research-based whatever from all of us and all the people that we get along with, that our kids get along together. And we kind of would trust them in anybody's home and know that they're getting the right information. So totally. No, I agree. It's always asking and kind of just getting on that same level. So, well, you know, we're getting close to out of time here today, and I don't know that we caught it all up. So we might have to do another one, but, you know, in the future here too, I know we've tossed around the idea of maybe bringing on our two wives, because we talk a lot about them. But they never have a voice. So I think we might have to do that sometime here.
Yeah, for sure.
See what they have to say about what our parenting is, right? And maybe it'd be a little bit different, or maybe we're seeing it with the rose-colored glasses or something. Who knows? But so thanks so much, Eric, for doing this again. Tell people where they can.
Yeah,
no problem. Tell the people where they can find you and all your great stuff.
Yeah, you can find me on most active on Instagram. Handles at Eric Reggie, ericreggie. And I look forward to being on again at some point.
Oh, we will. We're going to do that again soon. So thanks so much. And thanks to all our listeners. You know where to find us. We're always looking for listeners. Oh, check the show notes out too, because we have a call in. We have a phone number. You can leave us a voicemail. We can air it on an episode. You have a question, we can answer that and do that all on the episode. So check that phone number out. The last four digits are dads. So, it's pretty easy to remember. Don't ask me what the first six are right now off the top of my head, unless you want me to wait and look it up, which you don't want me to. It'll be in the show notes. Check it out. Give us a call. Leave us a message. Let us know what you're thinking about the dad experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.